So how does someone like me get to be here among these stars and millionaires, having my face altered by the top man in town? I guess it started with my manager, Bradley, who isn't so big league himself and doesn't look any more like George Clooney than I do. He first mentioned it a few years ago, in a jokey sort of way, then seemed to get more serious each time he brought it up again. What he was saying, in a nutshell, was that I was ugly, and that this was what was keeping me from the big league. "Look at Marcus Lightfoot," he said. "Look at Chris Bukowski. Look at Tarantini. Do any of them have a signature sound the way you do? No. Do they have your tenderness, your vision? Do they have even half your technique? No. But they look right, so doors keep opening for them." "What about Billy Fogel?" I said. "He's ugly as hell and he's doing fine." "Billy's ugly all right, but he's sexy, bad guy ugly. You, Steve, you're dull, loser ugly. The wrong kind of ugly. Listen, have you ever considered having a little work done? Of a surgical nature, I mean." I went home and repeated this all to Helen because I thought she'd find it as funny as I did. And at first, sure enough, we had a lot of laughs at Bradley's expense. Then Helen came over, put her arms around me and told me that, for her at least, I was the most handsome guy in the universe. Then she kind of took a step back and went quiet. And when I asked her what was wrong, she said nothing was wrong. Then she said that perhaps, just perhaps, Bradley had a point. Maybe I should consider having a little work done. "No need to look at me like that," she yelled back. "Everyone's doing it. And you have a professional reason. Guy wants to be a fancy chauffeur, he goes and buys a fancy car. It's no different for you." But at that stage, I gave the idea no further thought, even if I was beginning to accept this notion that I was loser ugly. For one thing, I didn't have the money. In fact, the very moment Helen was talking about fancy chauffeurs, we were $9,500 in debt. This was characteristic of Helen, a fine person in many ways, but this ability to forget completely the true state of our finances and start dreaming up major new spending opportunities, this was very Helen. Money aside, I didn't like the idea of someone cutting me up. I'm not so good with that kind of thing. One time, early in my relationship with Helen, she invited me to go running with her. It was a crisp winter's morning, and I've never been much of a jogger, but I was taken by her and anxious to impress. So there we were, running around the park, and I was doing fine keeping up with her when suddenly my shoe hit something very hard jutting out of the ground. I could feel a pain in my foot, which wasn't so bad, but when I took off my sneaker and sock and saw the nail of my toe rearing up from the flesh like it was doing a Hitler-style salute, I got nauseous and fainted. That's the way I am. So you can see I wasn't wild about face surgery. And then, naturally, there was the principle of the thing. Okay, I've told you before I'm no stickler for artistic integrity. I play every kind of bubblegum for the pay. But this proposition was of another order, and I did have some pride left. Bradley was right about one thing. I was twice as talented as most people in this town. But it seemed that didn't count for much these days, because it has to do with image, marketability, being in magazines and on TV shows, about parties and who you ate lunch with. It all made me sick. I was a musician. Why should I have to join in this game? Why couldn't I just play my music the best way I knew and keep getting better, if only in my cubicle, and maybe someday, just maybe genuine music lovers would hear me and appreciate what I was doing? What did I want with a plastic surgeon?